Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've got all the measurables. Let's talk to the pros. What's up, everybody? It's me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and welcome to Fantasy Pros, the home of fantasy sports. It is me, it is Tags, it is Yates, and it's you, and we got our Mock Draft 2.0 special for you, and I love a special show. Oh, we got a special one for you today. Today, it's what we want. Last time around, we did what we thought the GMs were going to do. This time, it's on our terms, and that's how I like to draft, on my own terms. And we've got one of our favorite guests here joining us, one of my personal favorites who spent so much quality time with me this NFL season, breaking down things every single week on Sports Grid. And now he is here again with me, courtesy of Pro Football Focus. He's the one, the only, Andrew Erickson. You can follow him on Twitter at @AndrewErickson_. Why there's an underscore, I'll never know at the very end. But you know what? I don't care because I'm very happy he's here. Andrew, welcome to the program, my friend.
Longtime listener of the Fantasy Pros program, absolutely love it, and first time guest, so super excited to be on with you guys for sure.
Love that, the first time, long time, and I like having you on here, especially because it brings down the average age even more of the program, and I think that's great. It makes Kyle feel old, which I also think is good. I support that. I know we got a big week ahead of us too, so make sure you stick with us because Wednesday night we're doing a live stream about free agency. We're going to get to some of those free agent things that happened too and some NFL news that happened on Friday, Saturday, Sunday because there's actually some things worth talking about. So we're going to hit all that. Tags, how is your weekend going? I know you're in full packing mode. I just want to make sure you're doing okay and you haven't accidentally fallen into a box or anything like that.
No, my hands hurt. I was working on my car all weekend. My wife was packing and I was working on my car because it has to get finished before we move because I have to actually move it. So working on the car all weekend, it's a good weekend. I have no complaints and I'm happy to have Andrew on the show. Andrew is someone that I met at the NFL draft, actually. You know, we were there with the Fantasy Pros like team amongst us, and Andrew, I posted something on Twitter and Andrew found me there and we ended up hanging out that night and talking, and I'm happy to see him full time in the industry. I think he's doing awesome.
I second that emotion. I met Andrew Erickson at FSGA a couple summers ago and we had a blast. He came out, we hung out, we had dinner. It was awesome. Yates, did you get a chance to meet Andrew Erickson? Because if not, then I think that you're way behind the group.
I am definitely way behind. I have not met Andrew in person, but it's on my to-do list.
There you go. So it's on the to-do list. And by the way, on your to-do list should be Kyle's show, because the Dynasty podcast that him and Ray Garvin are doing here at Fantasy Pros is terrific. It's twice a week. And obviously today we're talking about these rookies, and these guys are doing that deep dive on all the rookie stuff on the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football podcast. So wherever you listen to your podcast, make sure you subscribe to that, click the notifications button, everything, so you know when the new shows drop. This past week or so, and what's going on this week, Kyle, you want to set us up on what you guys, you and Ray, are up to right now?
Yeah, so last week we did a Dynasty Startup mock draft, which was a ton of fun. We ripped through 20 rounds and what it looks like for a startup mock draft in Dynasty. And then this week we're doing a ton of, you know, looking into the free agent fallout from a Dynasty perspective, all this. We're going to make sure that everyone is staying up to date on all the latest Dynasty news. So a ton of fun. Make sure you come over and join us.
Again, that's the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. Fantastic stuff there with Kyle Yates and Ray Garvin, our good friends and colleagues here over at Fantasy Pros. Speaking of Fantasy Pros, we're also doing a fun little giveaway going on. If you go to fantasypros.com/contest, we're giving away a Lamar Jackson jersey. That's right. Autographed Lamar Jackson jersey. I know Erickson's trying to win it, but we'll see. We'll see what happens there. The only way to get, though, involved is if you go to Apple Podcasts or CastBox and you go ahead and you take a screenshot of your review of this podcast, you talk about how much you enjoy the show, how great it is, all that good stuff, then you go back to fantasypros.com/contest, you fill in this little tiny form, you upload your screenshot, and there you go. You are entered to win, courtesy of our friends at pristineauction.com. It's a great, fun contest, and the Major League Baseball one, we gave away some fun stuff last month. We're giving away a Juan Soto jersey this month, but for NFL, we're giving away a Lamar Jackson one. Again, that's fantasypros.com/contest. So get in on that and get yourself some free swag. Everybody likes free swag, and all you got to do is just do a little review. It's so easy. I mean, come on, free stuff. Go get it right now. All right, before we jump in here, I want to go back a little bit to what happened this weekend.
Here's the league's latest news.
Let's start with the retirement of Drew Brees, which is certainly not new, certainly not something that nobody saw coming. 15 years to the day, I believe it was, they said, where he came in to New Orleans. So it's been an incredible run there for Drew Brees with the New Orleans Saints. Tags, we'll start with you on this one. So tell me, probably not surprising. I know some Taysom Hill stuff, some restructuring his contract. So give me your take on this finality of the quarterback situation regarding Drew Brees in New Orleans and where they go from here.
Yeah, no, Drew Brees, hell of a career. Congratulations on the retirement. He's joining Sunday Night Football in the broadcast booth, so he's not getting too far away from football, which is kind of cool. It's always good to have Drew Brees around. And as for the Saints quarterback competition, it is going to matter because we have Michael Thomas out there. We have Alvin Kamara. We want a higher scoring offense. Obviously, Michael Thomas would benefit from someone like Jameis Winston willing to give his wide receivers that one-on-one opportunity, whereas Taysom Hill, the offense would go a bit more run-heavy, and then you'd see someone like Alvin Kamara take a hit fantasy-wise as he did when Taysom Hill was the starter for four games this year. So it's something to monitor. There's been one source in the NFL apparently that came out recently and said they expect Taysom Hill to start the year, and if it goes haywire, they go to Jameis Winston. And I think it's going to be an open competition. I think they're going to see what they have between these two quarterbacks, and Jameis, you know, has he changed enough where Sean Payton's going to trust him to go from Drew Brees, the guy that doesn't make mistakes, to the guy that's willing to make whatever mistakes he has to in order to move the ball down the field? So Taysom Hill did step in and play admirably last year. So I do expect Taysom Hill to actually win this job, and that it will be a competition, obviously, if Jameis takes a step forward. But it's something to monitor for fantasy football regardless.
Yates, do you think that this move to at least potentially start the year with Taysom Hill is going to hurt Kamara's perceived value? And I'm using the word perceived specifically there because, again, if it does change, you know, to Jameis Winston in week two or week three, as early as that, could change things dramatically. And are you somebody who's willing to take any sort of discount you're given on Kamara because of the potential worry of Taysom Hill at QB?
Well, it's definitely something to consider with Taysom Hill and Alvin Kamara specifically, because those couple games when Taysom Hill stepped in and started and Kamara got like, what, one target over the course of two games, it was like every panic in the streets. So we started to see that bounce back a little bit. We started to see him get more involved in the offense. So I think it's a wait and see approach right now, just to see what exactly this offense looks like and kind of shapes out. Like right now, Jameis isn't under contract for 2021. That could change by the time that people are listening to this, but that hasn't officially happened yet. So I don't want to overreact one way or another. It's going to be a wait and see. We'll dissect that as we go along, but it is definitely something to consider and at least be worried, because he's definitely not going to see the target totals that he did with Drew Brees under center, but I don't think it's going to be as drastic as a, you know, one target over course of two games or anything like that.
Erickson, let's look into the crystal ball. Who plays more games, or should I say starts more games at quarterback for the Saints this year? Is it Winston or is it Hill?
I think I'm going to go with Jameis Winston. Everything that I've kind of heard and listened to in terms of having the beat reporters come on the PFF podcast with Ian and myself, they've talked up Jameis Winston a lot and that he's progressed a lot in his 1 year with the Saints so far this year. And I think ultimately they might find that they can do more with Jameis Winston in terms of attacking the ball downfield. And just because Winston's the starter doesn't mean they can't still use Taysom Hill in these packages. It could even be more, you know, 75% of the snaps is Winston and 25% of the snaps is Taysom Hill. Again, Sean Payton is not one to just come out and tell us exactly what he's going to do. It could be pretty confusing. And again, I'm definitely concerned about Alvin Kamara as an RB1 due to the fact that he's going to lose out in the receptions. And even if it's is Jameis Winston under center, you know, Winston is not a guy that's going to check the ball down as frequently as Drew Brees. So whether it's Winston or Taysom Hill, I think we're going to, I don't know if we're going to see another 81 catch season for Alvin Kamara.
All right, I want to stick with you, Andrew, and ask you about another quarterback because Cam Newton's coming back to the Patriots. And, you know, I do not like this. I'm not a big fan. I understand, like, you know, the options are limited. And to me, this is like, this is this terrible thing where, you know, the relationship didn't go well. And then you start making excuses for the relationship. It's like, well, COVID happened and he didn't feel good after, or, you know, he needs more time in the offense. And we can make all these excuses, but at the end of the day, you either can execute or you can't, and you're either getting the job done or you're not. And I feel like we're going with all the excuses and trying to hope that all of those things that did not go right somehow magically go better. And I am not sold on this. So sell me, because I need some selling on this of why Cam Newton's back and why it's a good thing for the Patriots.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think Tom Brady would have done well in that offense last year?
No, nobody would have done well in that offense because they still don't have any playmakers. But I think he would have done better in that offense, if that makes sense.
Okay, that's fair. But based on what Cam Newton had to work with, again, leading the league in rushing touchdowns at the quarterback position with 12, that's what he had to do. And the thing that I, you know, wrote about earlier over the weekend about Cam Newton signing with the Patriots, again, it's all, you know, predicated on if they add weapons. Again, if they don't add anyone, they don't draft any high-end receivers or pass catchers, they don't sign a tight end in free agency, then yeah, it really doesn't matter because he can improve maybe slightly just being in the offense for a second season, you know, no longer being affected by COVID. But again, yes, the pass catchers is super key to whoever plays quarterback for them in 2021.
All right, Yates, your take on the Cam Newton return to New England.
Yeah, this is something that I called on our free agency prediction show. I said that, you know, I don't think this is a closed door as far as Cam Newton returning. Now, again, very similar argument to Andrew saying that you got to get pass catchers in the building. You got to get him some support in order for him to have success. So from a fantasy football perspective, we know how valuable he can be, as, you know, Andrew said, leading the league in rushing touchdowns last season, and that was with missing a couple of games too. So he was just utilized so heavily around the goal line that that is extremely valuable. Now, if you can add in some playmakers who can take the pressure off, who can add in some rack ability, who can just pick up those yards easily for him, then he could be someone that we're eyeing. But again, it's all predicated upon what does New England do the rest of this offseason, and that will affect how I view Cam Newton for fantasy football in 2021.
Tags, they've got a lot of cap space to work with still. Do you think that they're going to do this via free agency, the draft, or a little bit of both?
Well, there's quarterbacks that elevate the players around them, and then there's quarterbacks that rely on other players to do well. And Cam Newton, I think, has fallen into the latter version, where he's going to require weapons around him. Now, he did rush for 12 touchdowns last year, but in 2020, he threw for 8 touchdowns in 15 games. That's not okay. It's really not. New England was one of the only teams who had multiple quarterbacks who threw more interceptions than touchdowns. Cam Newton fell in that category. Cam Newton's not a great passer. Let's just be honest about that. You have to be creative as an offensive coordinator. And do I believe that the shortened offseason and him signing late in the offseason mattered? I do. I think it matters for a lot of people. And I think that's why I'm so surprised to see Justin Herbert and guys like that show off, you know, in a year that was so difficult to do so. You know, I didn't think rookies would do a whole lot. I didn't think Cam Newton would do a whole lot. Do I think that he should have excelled with the players that he had in front of him? No, but do I think that he should have played better than he did? Absolutely, I do. And Cam Newton has never been a phenomenal passer. He's always been that threat on the ground, but he's getting older and he's slowly going to start losing that. And it's like, now you do have to surround him with other pieces. Would Tom Brady have succeeded? He would have been competitive. He would have made the team competitive. And that's the bottom line. The New England Patriots in 2020 were not competitive. They were not a team that anyone in the league feared, that anybody had to worry. It was almost like you were going up against, you know, a lower tier team. You just kind of, it was like how we used to view the Miami Dolphins is how you felt about the Patriots last year. Cam Newton, even if he does take a step forward, it's not going to change that. Again, Cam Newton is a passer. I've always had my hiccups with him. It was what he presented as a rusher. So if he can keep that mobility up at 33, 34 years old, whatever he's going to be, he's a difference maker, but he's not the difference maker, if that makes sense. They need the defense to be the primary, the piece of this team that carries them, basically, is what comes down to.
Play defense, run the football. I think that's what the identity of this football team should be. And you know what? I think they were competitive. They were terrible at closing. You know, in the fourth quarter, a lot of games, whether it be that Buffalo game where they coughed it up at the very end there's a lot of games like that where they kind of were hovering around there in the fourth quarter, and then they just couldn't finish. Yates, it looks like, speaking of finishing, a deal is done with Aaron Jones and the Packers. I'm shocked by this, Kyle. Like, I did not think this was going to happen. I think it's great that Aaron Jones said, hey, I want to be here, and this is where I want to win, and this is where I'm happy, and all of that. And I think it obviously, you know, to a certain extent will hurt A.J. Dillon and his ability to, you know, kind of be the back that we were projecting him to be in 2021. But I'm sure he's going to get a fair amount of work. So how do you take this Aaron Jones signing? Is this a smart move here by the Packers, in your opinion? And how does it affect the fantasy shares?
In a vacuum, it's a smart move. If you just look at bringing Aaron Jones back, yes, it's a very smart move because he is a very talented running back. And, you know, again, in a vacuum, you keep talented players in the building. You keep the players who have had success in your system. You keep them in the building.
But
look outside, look outside of that little vacuum and you say, okay, you drafted A.J. Dillon in the second round of the 2020 NFL draft. And at the time, it was a head-scratching decision when you look at the needs that they had on that roster. You desperately needed a wide receiver. You desperately needed a, you know, presence on the interior of the defensive line and linebacker. You just got gashed by Raheem Mostert for 220 yards mm-hmm. in the NFC Championship game, and you needed to shore up those positions. Instead, you draft a running back who, in my personal opinion, had no business being drafted in the second round. Fourth round, sure, I think I could get on board with that. But the back end of the second round, that was just reaching for A.J. Dillon. And then when you sacrifice the other positions that you had in need, okay, well, then if you look at that and you say, okay, well, if you are thinking about the future and you're saying Aaron Jones might command more money than we're willing to give him, he's an impending free agent, okay, well, that kind of makes sense. But again, it's still sacrificing value. Well, then they keep Aaron Jones in the building. And now they've spent a second-round pick on a running back who, yes, it's valuable to have multiple running backs on your depth chart. It absolutely is. Depth matters in the NFL. But when you are taking into account what they spent on A.J. Dillon and looking at the positions that they still have on their roster that need to be filled, that they could have used that money that Aaron Jones commanded to shore up, it just makes absolutely no sense. It's a head-scratching decision. It will always be. And I just don't get it now because A.J. Dillon, people are saying, well, he's going to step into the Jamal Williams role. Well, not exactly, because that's not what A.J. Dillon, he's a different kind of back. Jamal Williams was that pass catcher, right? He was that complimentary piece. That's not A.J. Dillon's game. A.J. Dillon is someone that you give 18-plus carries to a game, and he wears down the defense by the fourth quarter. So I just don't, this does not make sense to me whatsoever. Keeping Aaron Jones, absolutely, makes sense. I think his fantasy value will still be the same. Moving forward, he's tied to Aaron Rodgers. It's great. But yet, when you zoom out and you take into account the entire context of the situation, it makes absolutely no freaking sense.
Andrew, anything to add here about Aaron Jones?
They had the opportunity to use the franchise tag on him, so it would have made sense if they wanted to run it back one more year with Aaron Rodgers still, you know, established as the quarterback to, hey, let's franchise tag Aaron Jones, bring him back for one more season. He's, you know, in the prime of his career, but now you got him locked down for four more seasons. So it's going to be interesting to see if Aaron Jones' role changes at all in terms of, do they keep him in a timeshare where he's really only working 60, 70% of the snaps? Do they think that, okay, well, we paid him. Now we're going to use him, you know, 20 touches plus per game? Or is it more or less, hey, we're invested in him, so we really want to make him last for those four seasons? So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out now that Jamal Williams is probably on his way out. So Jamal Williams is going to be interesting to see where he ends up landing, because he does kind of possess a three-down skill set. We saw him fill in, you know, with Aaron Jones and put up some productive fantasy performances last year. So I'm really interested to see where Jamal Williams ends up, unless, of course, they decide to bring him back too. So don't count the Packers out.
All right, Mike, anything else to add here for you tags on Aaron Jones?
No, I think Yates hit it on the head, like all the points that he made in that one. But I did want to say, in terms of dynasty, I think it was comical that people were devaluing Aaron Jones regardless, because no matter where he was going to go, the dude's a baller. I don't think it's a bad thing to sign a good football player, and that's exactly what he is. Good for Aaron Jones getting money. Good for him to take a discount to stay with the Packers, because his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, came out and said, we could have gotten more in free agency, but Aaron said, work out a deal with Packers, I want to come back. So good for him. Good for the dynasty managers out there who held on to Aaron Jones and didn't panic throughout this entire thing, like myself, or who were buying them throughout this entire thing. good for you, because he's a very talented dude. And no matter where he went, he was going to succeed. And even if he didn't have the efficiency he'd have with the Packers, he would have been getting more touches elsewhere. So it was a win-win no matter what.
Yeah, look, it's win-win because we're going to start the draft and Tagliere is going to be on the clock when we come back for a little break here just to tell you and thank our sponsor here of today's episode, which is Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom, and it's your bedroom too. It's a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but it's chewable form and a fraction of the cost, and Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of ED and can help men gain that extra confidence when it comes time to perform. And you know, here, it's Fantasy Pros. We're all about performance. Performance is important. So if you're a fan of the show, you understand how important performance is. So Blue Chew is online prescription service. So no visits to the doctor office, no awkward conversations or waiting in line at a pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package, so nobody got to know about it. The process is simple. You just sign up at BlueChew.com, and a consultant will talk to you about the medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days, and the best part, it's all done online. It's all discreet, so good stuff there. So if you want to get in on this benefit from extra confidence when it comes time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And it's a special deal for our listeners today. Try BlueChew free when you use our promo code FANTASYPROS at checkout and pay just $5 for shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code FANTASYPROS, one word, to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast. And without further ado, let's kick things off. We got some trades in the works and all kinds of exciting things. It's Mock Draft 2.0 our way. So Tags, kick us off here with Jacksonville. And spoiler alert, it's probably going to be the same guy taken first.
It is. I'm not even going to waste time with this because we have a lot of picks to get through. But it's Trevor Lawrence.
He's good at football.
Yeah, yes. Good at football. Don't overthink this one, Trevor Lawrence.
Okay, that was fun. Great analysis by Tags. That's why he gets the big bucks here at Fantasy Pros. He's good at football. Moving on now, the Jets were here at the two spot. They have traded out. So Yates, you are now on the clock with Carolina here. And talk me through this trade, why the Jets moved out, and what the circumstances of the deal were.
Yeah, again, this is what we would do personally if we were running these franchises. And so when I look at the long-term projection for the New York Jets and all the holes that they have to fill on their roster, I look at the quarterback position and I say that's probably not at the top of the list. Now, I get it from the NFL perspective, and if you're wanting to, you know, move on from Sam Darnold because you just haven't seen enough. Well, I want to see what Sam Darnold looks like for 1 year outside of Adam Gase, potentially one of the worst head coaches in NFL history. I want to see what he looks like outside of that system. And I think this new system that Mike LaFleur is bringing in complements him really, really well. So I want to give him one more year. I can move out of here. I can get a ton of extra draft capital to help rebuild this roster long term. And so Carolina moves up here because we know how aggressive Carolina is going to be this offseason. They've talked about being very aggressive in the quarterback market. Matthew Stafford was, of course, in the rumors there. They were connected to him. They're obviously interested in Deshaun Watson. Who knows what's going to happen there? So they're not waiting around. They're going to go up and get their franchise quarterback long term. And Trey Lance is coming off of his pro day where he showed everything that I loved on film. Now, Trey Lance, there are people who are really concerned about his projection to the next level, and there are reasons to be concerned. He didn't play much this past season, only one game against Central Arkansas. Didn't exactly show out super well either, but all the tools and traits are there. If you can get him into this building, you do have Teddy Bridgewater ahead on the depth chart. So Bridgewater can step in. He can start for the first few games of the season, let Trey Lance acclimate to the NFL level, and then week three, week four even, plug him in and just let him cook. You know, it brings incredible athleticism to the position, can be utilized as both a runner and a passer deep downfield. Love the fit here. I think it would be an instant upgrade for DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and Curtis Samuel if he is back in this. Christian McCaffrey, everything. It's a situation that's set up for him to succeed. So Trey Lance here at number two overall, Carolina moving up.
It's a huge risk, but I don't think it's a crazy one. I really don't, because I think if you hit it, you've got a difference maker quarterback for a decade, and that's what the NFL is about. And yeah, maybe absence makes the heart grow fonder here a little bit with Lance, but I'll tell you what, the more you watch the tape, the more I know I see everything that Yates is seeing here with him, and I could certainly make that case for him going this early. That means we are next at the number three spot, Miami. Andrew Erickson, are you ready to make your selection?
Yes, I am. I'm going to stick with Tua as my quarterback. So Miami's not going to move on and take another quarterback here. There's a lot of great options here, obviously picking at number three overall. But for me, I want to get Tua weapons because that's what we saw him play at his best at Alabama was when he was surrounded by, you know, top end receivers, and he didn't have that luxury last year. Devontae Parker was hurt. You know, he was basically thrown to Lynn Bowden, Jakeem Grant, you know, an injured Mike Gesicki at times. So again, you need to surround your franchise quarterback with some weapons. So for me, it's Ja'Marr Chase from LSU. The guy was an absolute star in 2019 after then sitting out this past season. He's my number one wide receiver in this class, so I think it's a layup here for Ja'Marr Chase.
How dare you say that Preston Williams was not enough? How dare you, Andrew? All right, coming up next, we got tags at the four spot. So that was Atlanta, but not anymore. So tags, take me through the trade.
Yeah, Atlanta, I mean, if it's this is my franchise, I'm looking to collect some draft picks because I don't feel like this team is built to compete right now, but they are stuck with some contracts. Matt Ryan, Julio Jones in their contract. Got to keep the fans in the stands. So I want to rebuild. I want to collect picks. So I've traded back to the number 9 pick with the Denver Broncos. They're sending me 2 first-round picks and a third-round pick in exchange for this number 4. So Andrew is on the clock with the Denver Broncos.
Boom, picking back to back already.
Look at this, running the table.
The draft board is already on fire. So for here, going quarterback, because Drew Lock, yes, you know, you've been entertaining at times. You've had a couple 30-point fantasy performances, but I can't deal with the 4 interception games anymore. I can't deal with streaming you against, you know, the Oakland Raiders, and then you put up an absolute egg. Can't deal with that anymore. So I'm going to go with Justin Fields from Ohio State. I think that he fits in really well in terms of throwing the ball downfield. He's super accurate. That was one of his proclaims coming out of college, being a super accurate quarterback. He obviously adds a lot with his legs, and there's weapons there. No, there are so many weapons in Denver. Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant, Melvin Gordon, Philip Lindsay. He's surrounded by playmakers, and Denver needs to make a splash if they're ever going to try to get back into competition with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, 3 of the first 4 picks are quarterbacks, which brings us to the Cincinnati Bengals at number 5. And Yates, you're up. So last year, the big investment in Joe Burrow, number 1 overall. So you going offensive lineman, or you going weapons, you going defense? Certainly there's a lot of options here that the Bengals have needs of.
Yeah, I'm absolutely focusing on the offensive line here because you got to protect Joe Burrow. So I'm going to give them Penei Sewell, offensive tackle out of Oregon. Kid is super young still, only 20 years old, I think, by the time that draft day is going to roll around. He sat out this past season, but yet when you put on the film, the upside is just incredible with this kid. Insane, like a very big body, but yet can move like he's 40 pounds lighter. So Penei Sewell here brings a solid presence at the left tackle position and can be that protection for Joe Burrow for the next decade.
Very good. And back to Andrew Erickson, who feels like he's got every pick in the first 10. I'm not sure how this worked out, but it did. Now the Philadelphia Eagles. Andrew, you certainly do get around in this top 10 pick. So the Eagles, another team, new regime, new situation there for them. Is it just as easy as getting a wide receiver and trying to get it right this year, or trying to get Jalen Reagor right instead and going somewhere else?
Well, the Eagles have had some trouble with these receivers the last couple of drafts. Arcega Whiteside didn't pan out. Reagor has disappointed so far as a rookie. I'm not giving up on him yet so far. So I'm going to pivot to not necessarily a wide receiver, but someone that's basically a wide receiver by trait.
Ooh.
And that's going to be Kyle Pitts for me
at
the tight end position. I think it makes a lot of sense. The Eagles have run a lot of 12 personnel in the past, and I know that it is under new coaching now with Nick Sirianni, but even last year, you know, with the Colts, Nick Sirianni was obviously involved, and the Colts use a lot of 2 tight end sets. So I think it makes more sense to just draft Kyle Pitts here and just add more playmakers surrounding Jalen Hurts. You know, looking at Pitts, again, the guy is a wide receiver, you know, in a tight end's body. 97 PFF receiving grade, 4.91 yards per route run against man coverage last year, which ranked 1st and 2nd. Among all players. So again, you know, Kyle Pitts is basically putting up wide receiver numbers in college. So for me, I think it's Kyle Pitts.
A huge weapon there added to that Philadelphia offense. And you would assume that Zach Ertz has kind of moved on from as well, which brings us back to tags now at number 7 overall in the Detroit Lions. Now on the clock, also a new regime, lots of new regimes here in this top 8 picks. So take me through the Detroit Lions thought process. What should their GM tags do?
So, I mean, me personally, if I'm the Lions here, I would look to trade out of this pick. you know, Zach Wilson, it's because I'm not a big fan of Zach Wilson, but the teams that have called me right now, Washington, and I don't want to move all the way back to 19. So it's making a trade extremely difficult. But Zach Wilson we're still in the top 10, but it's not the top of the draft where it's like, if I miss with this pick, it's not great. It's really not great. But at the same time, I didn't trade up to get Zach Wilson, a guy that's projected to go number two on a lot of boards. I can't stick with Jared Goff. If I'm running the Lions, I need a backup plan, because quarterback's the most important position in sports. If you don't have it, you're not winning anything. You know, we could look at Micah Parsons here, linebacker out of Penn State, because they need to rebuild the defense. But again, quarterback is the most important position on the field, and they need to have a backup plan to Jared Goff. So I'm going to take Zach Wilson here just because of the state where they're in.
I got to tell you, I love how long it took you just to get to the point how much you hate Jared Goff. That was worth every penny.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that profusely. You could just say that at the top, and I don't think you're going to get any pushback. I think it's going
to
be okay.
I just think it's adorable that they're trying to pass it off as if we believed in him so much. That's why we tripped.
Yeah, that's why. We believed in him so much. I got to say, I'm a little surprised. I thought you would have gone defense there with Dan Campbell and all of the kneecap biting. I thought you would have gone physicals. You surprised me.
Well, I'm not Dan Wilson. Campbell, fortunately.
No, I know. Unfortunately for my kneecaps. All right, well, let's move on here. Yates is at the 8th spot here. Carolina Panthers on the clock. This is now the Jets pick because of that swap. So the Jets are on the board.
Yeah, if you look at Robert Saleh being able to, what he's bringing from San Francisco was great corner play and great defensive line play. So those are two top priorities for his scheme to succeed. And so I'm looking at a corner here on the board who has the potential to have a Jalen Ramsey-type impact in the NFL. Now, I'm not comping him to Jalen Ramsey, but Caleb Farley out of Virginia Tech is still learning the corner position. He transitioned over from wide receiver, I believe, when he entered into Virginia Tech, and he opted out this past season. But already a very, very skilled player at that position, and the upside is just through the roof. So going to bring in Caleb Farley here to a corner room that desperately needs it. I think Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas are going to prioritize the defense in this draft. And so if I'm moving down, I accumulated some extra picks. I've got Sam Darnold moving forward and all the rest of the quarterbacks are off the board. I'm going to move and draft Caleb Farley here to help rebuild that defense.
All right. Very good pick there. Caleb Farley going to the Jets. That goes back to tags for the next two picks. One with Atlanta because of that deal with Denver, and then the Dallas Cowboys to round out the top 10. So let's start with the Atlanta Falcons. So are they happy with where they're ended up now in the first round with who's left on the board, Tags?
Yes. I mean, you know, Deion Jones, the linebacker there, he's obviously a solid player. He's dealt with some injuries over the course of his time, but the defense basically it's too early for an edge rusher. I personally would like to trade back here again and continue to accumulate picks. And I'd probably move back somewhere in the range of maybe New England, maybe around 15, because I'd be looking at edge rusher. I just don't know if there's an edge rusher on the board that I feel is necessary to take up at number 9. So I'm just going to take the best player available on my board on the defense, and that's Micah Parsons.
Very good. So Parsons going to Atlanta. Now Dallas Cowboys, typically known for their BPA strategy, but doesn't matter because the GM is now Tags. It's nobody else. So it doesn't matter what Jerry Jones wants to do. It's what Tags wants to do for the Dallas Cowboys. And this is another team. Sure, could use some defensive help. I think you would agree there.
Yeah, Patrick Surtain, cornerback out of Alabama. He's definitely the one that I would grab here. Him pairing him back up with Trayvon Diggs. They played together in college. They were a good duo there. Do I think Surtain is like a can't-miss prospect? I don't necessarily believe that. I think Farley is the better prospect of the two, and I have him higher on my big board. So if he were here, I'd be taking him. But at the same time, this Dallas team, the cornerback unit has just been atrocious. And Ouzier is a free agent. They're probably going to lose him. So I'm going to go ahead and take Patrick Surtain here just to shore up one of the positions. Wide receiver, you have to cover. In today's NFL, cornerbacks are one of the major positions. You know, it goes quarterback, offensive tackle. Corners are really important nowadays.
Well, they are. And we're seeing this renaissance, obviously, with the wide receivers. This last class was incredible. This class coming in is not too shabby either. And if you're going to slow anybody down, and I use the word slow down and not stop, because it is tough to stop these guys, it's time to just make some investments on some big-time corners. So the first 10 picks are Trevor Lawrence to the Jaguars at number 1 overall, Trey Lance to Carolina after a trade. The quarterback obviously going there. Miami taking Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver. Then Denver at four, taking Justin Fields, a quarterback. Cincinnati, Penei Sewell, offensive tackle. Philadelphia, Kyle Pitts at the number six spot, taking the tight end. Zach Wilson, quarterback, going to Detroit at seven. Caleb Farley, the corner, going to the Jets at eight. And then at 9 and 10, we've got Atlanta taking Micah Parsons, the linebacker, and Patrick Surtain at 10, going to the Dallas Cowboys, which puts Yates on the clock. Boy, you know, Andrew, you had all those picks, and I feel like you've been very quiet lately. I hope you're laying in the weeds, ready to do something great. So I hope you're just, you know, monitoring the board, and you're going to just surprise us all, because you had like a bunch of picks, and then it's been tags and tags and tags. Now we're back to Yates. Yates with the Giants on the clock, number 11. Yates, where are you going with this pick?
Yeah, the Giants need some edge help, but looking at this edge class, there's not really a player towards the top that I think is worthy of a top 15 pick. It's a very, very deep class with guys that have, you know, some traits here that excel, and but have some weaknesses that they need to shore up. So I think that from New York's perspective, I can get a solid edge presence in the second round. I think there, it's, again, I mentioned it's a very deep class, so I think that there's going to be someone there. I'm going to focus on surrounding Daniel Jones, who I made that significant investment in. I'm going to do everything I can to help him be successful. I'm going to draft Jalen Waddle here, a wide receiver out of Alabama. Releasing Golden Tate, this opens up a spot here, whether I want to put Jalen Waddle in the slot, whether I want to align him out wide and move Sterling Shepard into the slot. This gives him that solid presence that he can just lean on at all three levels of the field, whether they want to utilize him underneath or give him those deep shots downfield. He can go up and high point the football too. Just spectacular speed, spectacular acceleration would just help take a lot of pressure off of Daniel Jones. So Jalen Waddle here, number 11 overall to the New York Giants.
And you know what? If Daniel Jones should not succeed, what an incredible group that another quarterback can come in and maybe be successful right away. Maybe a veteran quarterback or somebody like that, because you got Barkley, you got Waddle, you got a lot of talent there with Shepard. So a situation that, look, if Daniel Jones doesn't succeed with everything going on and everybody healthy, you know, fingers crossed, I think you could certainly make the case to move on. That goes to San Francisco now, the 49ers. Andrew, welcome back. It's so nice to have you back on the program. So a lot of the trading, you know, you made a lot of picks. Now you're back again here with the 49ers. So where do you want to go here with this next pick?
I want to go back down in the draft. I want to trade with the Washington football team. Tags, do you have any interest in trading up here and swapping picks?
I honestly... No, because
these are exactly what the conversations sound like in the NFL. But, they call him up and the other guy goes, ugh, I don't know.
Well, in the end, I'm not a fan of the player that some people would think Washington would trade up here to get. And that's the only reason I'm not going to trade up to that pick right now. Basically, if he falls to me at 19, I'll consider him. But at 12, I don't value him there.
Fair enough.
Feels like a no, Andrew. I just want to, just in case you were unsure, I felt like a, nah, thanks. I think I'm okay. I think I'm all good. So now you got to make your pick.
All right, then. I'm going to take the quarterback that I'm just going to try to trade down with and hope that someone would trade up for. So I'll go with Mac Jones from Alabama. Basically, you look at the 49ers, and they've had success when Jimmy Garoppolo has been healthy. But basically, whenever he's gotten hurt, they have just absolutely fallen apart and crumbled. So it makes sense that they invest in another quarterback, whether Jimmy G is their long-term answer or not. You know, there's been a lot of question marks about him. Look, Mac Jones is going to be put into a position to succeed in the 49ers. There are offensive weapons in place. Kyle Shanahan is there. He succeeded in a great system around him in Alabama, and it seems like it'd be a great fit for him with the 49ers.
Tags, back to you with the Chargers at the 13 pick after you just shut down Andrew. So cold. So cold of you. All right, so where are the Chargers going?
This one's pretty easy for me now. Rashawn Slater, offensive lineman out of Northwestern. All of a sudden, the Chargers, I mentioned it when I did an article on the free agent draft needs and like for all 32 teams, and I went through the Chargers, and I said they have one offensive lineman, and I think that they're comfortable putting out there on the field, and that's Brian Bulaga, the right tackle. He's getting up there in age, too. They need to protect Justin Herbert. You need to protect your investment. The most important position on the field outside of quarterback is offensive tackle, and Slater is moving up draft boards, and rightfully so. He was a guy that last year on film was one of the only guys that could slow down Chase Young. We obviously saw him wreak havoc in his rookie year in the NFL, so that's something that's major that's moving him up boards, including my own. So I'm going to take him at 13, feel pretty confident about it.
Slater at 13 to the Chargers, which brings us to 14, the Minnesota Vikings, and brings us to Yates with the next pick.
Yeah, I would have loved for Rashawn Slater to still be here on the board for Minnesota and kind of curse Tags his name when he put there one pick before. So, no, looking
at
Minnesota.
A lot of enemies in this room, Tags. I just want you to know.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Looking at Minnesota, I think that you look at the defense, there are some spots where you could invest, but yet they've got some young players there that I think they want to see if they can develop and see how that turns out. They've got plenty of, you know, later picks in this draft too. They've traded down a ton last year. So I think looking at this spot, you just move on from, you just moved on from Riley Reiff, and he was a cap casualty. So looking at the offensive line, specifically left tackle, I am going to take Christian Darrisaw here, the offensive tackle out of Virginia Tech. Now, I've got a couple of guys that I like, or I'm sorry, Tevin Jenkins I like ahead of him, but I think that Darrisaw makes more sense for the Vikings as far as a long-term projection. Darrisaw has some things that he needs to work on, but again, I've talked about it several times with other players at the top of this board, that the upside is just tremendous. So I'm going to take Christian Darrisaw here, have him step into that Riley Reiff role, and just keep this offensive line moving.
Andrew Erickson up next with his dream job, general manager of our New England Patriots. Now, don't let me down. You already signed Cam Newton.
There's a right pick here. There's a right pick here for sure.
I think there's a right pick too. Let's see if Andrew does it. No pressure, Andrew. Just, you know, this is a safe place. You know, you wanted to be on the show someday. This is what happens. So here you go. You've had a lot of time to think about this. I know all weekend you were kind of stewing. So here you go. The floor is yours. Number 15 overall, the New England Patriots on the board. Take who?
I feel like I have a lot of pressure on me now that there's a right pick narrative out there. And I don't know if this is going to be the right pick, but it's the pick that I would make. It's a receiver that I'm really high on in this draft class. And it's Rashad Bateman from Minnesota. I think that they need a prototypical X wide receiver. And that's what Rashad Bateman can deliver right away for them. He can play on the outside. You know, fun fact, I guess it's really not a fun fact about the Patriots, but you know, last two seasons, Patriots receivers have caught 30% of their contested targets on the outside. Last two seasons, Rashad Bateman has caught 70% of his contested targets on the outside. So
just threw up in my mouth a little
just,
with that stat.
Yeah, get me Rashad Bateman, and if they draft Kadarius Toney here instead, I will lose my mind. Yeah, that's
wow.
It.
Wow, yeah, that would be bad.
Tags, was that the right pick?
It was the right position, wrong pick.
Oh, okay. So I'm assuming you mean that the right guy was Smith. Was that what your opinion is?
That's actually, you know, I'm on the clock at number 16. And I'm actually going to go Arizona. And basically, this is not even from a team name standpoint. It's from a talent falling too far in the draft. Christian Kirk has not panned out like the Cardinals have wanted him to. And I think part of it is because they're miscasting him on the perimeter. I think he's a slot receiver. I think you're going to see him go the Golden Tate route in his career, where once they move him into the slot, I think you're going to see Christian Kirk be a better wide receiver. They have DeAndre Hopkins there, but they're going straight up Atlanta Falcons here. The Falcons had Julio Jones, so who cares? Mm-hmm. We're going to get Calvin Ridley. They're going to do everything that they can to make Kyler Murray a better player, and Devonta Smith does that. Devonta Smith is a stud through and through. I'm going to take him here because he's the most talented player on the board, and it's not even really all that close.
I'm going to just tell you, Andrew, I think Bateman was a good pick. I
love Bateman too, but Devonta Smith is that. I think Smith is more the prototypical number one. You don't have any concerns about if he's healthy, whereas Bateman, I like Bateman. I think he can be a one. But there's some projection going on there because he played for Minnesota, not Alabama. So it's just more like the level of competition is going to increase. So we want to see him against better competition. But I do like Bateman an awful lot. He reminds me of Keenan Allen. So there's definitely nothing wrong with that pick.
Tex, what do you think about the size of Smith, though, too? A lot of people have knocked him because of, you know, the weight and, you know, guys who are a certain weight class and things like that, wide receiver getting into that NFL level. Is there any concern from that standpoint for you?
I mean, if there wasn't concern, he'd be up there with Ja'Marr Chase. As far as I'm concerned, like he'd be considered as a top five pick. So I think there is a level of concern with that for sure. But basically this is what it comes down to. As a franchise, if you draft a player that when he's on the field, he balls out. But the question is that there's some injury concerns and you're worried about the projection of because he's too thin. That's when basically it comes into, okay, I can deal with the fact if I miss on a player because he gets hurt. I can't miss on a player because he sucks at football. Devonta Smith doesn't suck at football. He's very good. So that's basically me as a GM. I want to take talented football players. And Devonta Smith, he walks in alongside DeAndre Hopkins, and then you kick in Christian Kirk into the slot. This offense is just ridiculous.
Well, it reminds me kind of last year with CeeDee Lamb, too. It was like, best player on the board, fell too far.
Yeah.
They already had Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup, and they said, well, we're just not going to pass on the talent. And I think it was the right choice, actually, when they did it. Now, by the way, when Mike put his selection in, immediately the Las Vegas Raiders then put in a name. They were so excited, obviously. So, Yates, you were prepared, and you pulled the trigger pretty quick on this next player.
Yeah, I was definitely not letting the clock drain all the way down to zero on this one. Going Samuel Cosmi here, offensive tackle out of Texas, put up some ridiculous numbers at his pro day here this past week. Just a very, very polished offensive tackle prospect and a big physical presence. So the Raiders, now offensive line, Trent Brown traded away, Richie Incognito released. This was the strength of their football team. And so you need, they love big physical presences on the offensive line. Get them.
I love presences.
Get them Samuel Cosmi, a 6'7", 300 plus. He just provides a wall there for Derek Carr, who needs protection in front of him to be successful.
I love Christmas because I get all the presences. So many presences under the tree. Andrew Erickson, you are up next. Number 18, Miami Dolphins. Obviously a few picks here in this first round. So where are you going with this next one?
Yeah, I'm going to go pass rusher here because we haven't really seen a lot of, you know, pure pass rushers come off the board yet. So I'm going to go with Kwity Paye from Michigan. I think that it's just a really good fit. You know, Brian Flores can use him as a chess piece in the defense, and I think it makes a lot of sense. He had PFF's fourth highest pass rushing grade in the Power 5 last year. So I'm going to go with Kwity Paye.
Very good. Kwity Paye going to the Miami Dolphins. That brings up 19 and 20, where we got tags on the clock for number 19 with the Washington football team. So, tags, you are on the clock.
I'm going to go with Washington. So, basically, this comes down to me valuing offensive line play quite a bit. Elijah Vera Tucker is still on the board. USC, he's basically somebody that's an interior offensive lineman, offensive tackle. People are kind of conflicted on where he's going to go. He has shown that he could play both tackle and interior. Washington, you know, they don't have the quarterback of their dreams right now. The quarterback of their dreams is definitely not on the board. Even if Mac Jones were here, I would have been struggling with that because I think it's probably worth them to take Mac Jones here because you want to solve that scenario. I'm just not personally a Mac Jones guy. So I'm going to go ahead and take the offensive lineman here, Elijah Vera Tucker out of USC, because I'm just going to basically build this franchise for when we do get the franchise quarterback. We have a hell of an offensive line in front of him.
All right, so Vera Tucker goes to the Washington, and that brings up Yates and the Chicago Bears at 20 to finish out the top 20 picks.
Ideally, the Bears don't make this pick because it's sent off for Russell Wilson. But that hasn't happened yet, may not happen, who knows. So I've got to focus on the offensive line. We move on. The Bears move on from Bobby Massey. They cut him as a cap casualty. They have a need at right tackle. I'm going to slide in Tevin Jenkins, just a mauler of a human being there at the right side out of Oklahoma State. Big, big fan of his game. Think that he's ready to step in right away and protect whoever is playing quarterback for the Bears in 2021, whether it's Nick Foles, help me, or someone else. So Tevin Jenkins here, 20 overall to the Chicago Bears.
It can't be Nick Foles again. Can it? I mean, really?
It shouldn't be.
Come on. We'll see. It can't. I'm just going to go with it can't.
No, it's going to be Alex Smith.
Well, you know what? I think it's better than Nick Foles. I don't think that's a hot take. All right, let's recap the last 10 picks here. The Giants at number 11 taking wide receiver Jalen Waddle. San Francisco at 12 taking quarterback Mac Jones. Rashawn Slater, offensive tackle, going to the Chargers at 13. Christian Darrisaw, offensive tackle to the Minnesota Vikings at 14. Rashad Bateman, wide receiver to New England at 15. At 16, Arizona taking the BPA, Devontae Smith at wide receiver. Then you had the Las Vegas Raiders taking the offensive tackle, Samuel Cosmi. Kwity Paye, Miami Dolphins, number 18, the edge rusher. Then Vera Tucker, the offensive tackle to Washington, and Tevin Jenkins, offensive tackle to the Chicago Bears, which brings Andrew Erickson back on the board for the Indianapolis Colts at number 21. They got a new quarterback, so what do you want to purchase for the Colts in the draft?
I'm going to look at their defense here because I think that their defense, it started out the season really hot, but it was a lot of it had to do with competition that they were playing. They kind of fell off towards the end of the year. So, and they lacked a lot of pass rush. And right now they're kind of in a win now mode, you know, bringing Carson Wentz. You know, they obviously made the playoffs last year, but it got knocked out in the wild card round. So I think that they want to just chase upside here. And I think that the most upside pick when it comes to pass rusher is Gregory Rousseau from Miami. You know, again, he has the talent of a top five pick, but it's just a small sample size. You know, really 1 year of just elite production. He was an opt out last season. So again, it's a riskier pick, but it has a ton of upside, and if he can deliver, then they can, you know, really make a difference on defense.
So Russo, edge rusher to the Indianapolis Colts, which puts the Tennessee Titans, tags his new team as he continues to...
Stepchild.
So you're on the clock for the Titans here at 22, tags. What are you doing?
All right. So I'm also going to take a Miami edge rusher, but mine's going to be Jalen Phillips. He's a guy that, you know, basically with Russo sitting out 2020. He made a big name for himself, and he actually might go before Rousseau in the draft, and I really wouldn't fault a team if they did that. But yeah, he balled out. And Tennessee, it's one of the major needs. Like, they have a lot of needs on that defensive side of the football. But, you know, edge was something they tried to solve last year in free agency. And, well, we don't even need to talk about that. Jadeveon Clowney didn't work out. But they need a player that's going to walk in and be able to start day one. I do think that Jalen Phillips is a guy that can do that. So at 22, I think they're pretty happy to see him there on the board.
Would you quantify Clowney's career as a disappointment?
In terms of how talented he is, yeah. But he's been injured a lot on and off the field, but talent wise, the guy's, he's good.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of the, I remember, you know, that year in that draft, all the people talking about, you know, whether or not it was a risky pick or to take him, so much talent, so much upside, could he stay on the field? And I think that's kind of encapsulated his NFL career. It's kind of been exactly what people thought it was. Next on the board is the New York Jets. Yates, you are on the board here with the Jets at 23. So, clearly a team that needs a lot of things. So what do they need now?
Yeah, Tag sniped me with Rashawn Slater earlier. Sniped me again here with Jalen Phillips. So I would have loved Jalen Phillips to still be on the board. That didn't happen here. So I am going to go with another edge presence here again, looking at Robert Saleh and how important corner and edge are to the success of his scheme. So I'm going to go with Joseph Osai, another Texas player who is coming off another ridiculous pro day. 40-inch vert at 250 pounds or whatever he weighed in at. It's just ridiculous. Ridiculous athleticism. He still has room to grow. He still has room for development, but the first step explosiveness, the burst that he has off the line is all there, and he just has a nose for getting to the quarterback. So Joseph Osai, edge presence out of Texas.
Osai to the Jets. That brings up the Pittsburgh Steelers and Andrew Erickson at number 24. Andrew, what are you doing for these Pittsburgh Steelers? Because last year was certainly a season that ended in massive disappointment. We have to change the narrative here for Pittsburgh fans.
Yeah, I would have loved to try to get a tackle here, but all the top-end tackles already got taken.
Just to be clear here, everybody, we have, in the last, what, six picks, four edge rushers and two offensive tackles. So there's been a run, as they like to say, in the industry. That's what's happened here. So now you're in a tough spot, but what do you think is the best move?
So I'm going to pivot to the defensive side of the ball, which kind of sounds weird coming from the Pittsburgh Steelers, who boasted arguably the best defense last year. But it was really more about their front seven that was really elite, you know, bringing pressure to the quarterback. Their back end got burned consistently. You know, the corners and safeties weren't nearly top of the league, kind of like the rest of their defense was. So I think that adding in a pure man corner, I'm going to go with J.C. Horn from South Carolina. He can play man-to-man coverage, and that's what they need to be able, you know, keep track of the back end, keep the defense honest. You know, when the Steelers bring pressure, it's good to have a cornerback that can cover man-to-man on the outside and that can hopefully, you know, help the defense a little bit more.
Jacksonville back on the clock. They picked at one. They're picking again here at 25. So you got your franchise QB. So where do you go next, Tags, with the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Where do I go next? This one's a tough one for me because they have tons of needs. You can go so many different ways. But I think the way that you rebuild a football team is by taking the best player available. And the highest player on my board right now, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, undersized linebacker, but he's built almost like a big cornerback, in my opinion. And it's because the guy used to play safety. I think he can play corner if you wanted him to. He can cover running backs out of the backfield. You know, he can probably cover some slot receivers. Crazy athleticism. And again, I'm just all about Jacksonville adding the most talented players. Not saying, oh, I want to take a high upside prospect right now. No. I'm taking the best football players and we're rebuilding this team because we're going to have a window to win with Trevor Lawrence walking in. We have tons of money to spend in free agency. So Koramoah fell further than I thought he would. So I'll take him here at 25.
Owusu-Koramoah going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. That means Cleveland and Kyle Yates is up next. Yates, where are you going with this pick?
I'm going to focus on linebacker. I'm going to go Zaven Collins, linebacker out of Tulsa, 6'4", 260 pounds, can drop back and cover extremely smooth in coverage, but yet can come up and be a physical presence against the run. So Zaven Collins, linebacker out of Tulsa.
Zaven Collins, linebacker for the Cleveland Browns here. Certainly they could use some more help on the defensive end of things. Baltimore, already a good defense. So Andrew, what do you want to do for them? This is... it's a little tricky here because there's definitely some needs and definitely some things that they already do very well. Certainly a need for wide receiver. We'll see if they can address that in free agency, but maybe you want to address that here. I don't know. So you're on the board. Andrew, where are the Ravens going to go? What would you do for them?
Well, offensive line was something I was looking at, especially the interior, but they just obviously made a splash move bringing in Kevin Zeitler. So I don't think that that's necessarily the top of their priority list here in round one. And again, you mentioned wide receivers. So I'm just going to go with one of the best receivers that I think that's in this draft class, and that's Rondale Moore. Again, he doesn't necessarily fit the prototype of an perimeter outside X wide receiver, but the guy can play. Like, he can flat out play. You know, at 19 years old, basically, he was a superstar at Purdue, and he's been hurt, you know, the last couple seasons, but I just think that he's another dynamic playmaker they need that can operate out of the slot, and I think that'd be helpful for Lamar Jackson, who, you know, as we all kind of know, loves to throw the ball over the middle of the field.
He does. Let's hope that Moore is the right guy for that. That brings up the New Orleans Saints, a different look New Orleans Saints. No Drew Brees, but tags. They've got this draft pick here at number 28. So what would you like to give them?
Oh, this one is so tough for me because, you know, I've been talking about throughout this draft just taking the most talented football player and like adding talent in the first round. These are picks that you really don't want to miss on. And I'm really torn with this one because Christian Barmore, defensive tackle out of Alabama, is a very high upside prospect, a guy that may not be ready right now, but like the ceiling is immense there. However, someone that's more pro ready, if New Orleans says we still believe we can win now, Davion Nixon out of Iowa is so damn good, and I love him. I'm actually going to take a stance here, and I'm going to say Davion Nixon out of Iowa is going to be my pick here, just because I get that feeling while watching him that he's just a special football player.
You're so brave and strong, taking a stance here. I love it. It's really
what I do.
It's very moving. It's a very moving part of the show. Guys, are you as moved? Yates, are you moved right now by this stance here, this planting of the flag by tags?
Not really, because I'm not a huge fan of Davion Nixon.
Wow.
That's just a personal preference.
What a guy.
Ooh, my goodness. Let me turn a light on because the shade has just been shut. There's so much shade being thrown here. I love it.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. Andrew, I hope you're okay. Just, you know, when mommy and daddy fight, just it's just how they talk.
We get
sometimes.
Andrew's
don't
take
worry.
On this one, then?
Yeah, let's get Andrew's take on this one. I don't know. You might be asking for more trouble, tags. All right, you want to talk about Mike's strong stance here?
Plead the fifth.
No, boo. That's no fun. Boo. Come on. All right. Let's move on to the next guy here. Yates is on the clock with the Green Bay Packers, which is funny because the one thing I think we've figured out from this podcast is it seems like a Jekyll and Hyde scenario where whoever is running the team in the offseason is not necessarily the same person who is drafting for the team, it feels like. So maybe we can get everybody in the same room. Maybe Yates can just take over this position for the Packers. But let's see what the Jekyll and Hyde comes up with this time.
Yeah, if this was, you know, us trying to figure out what the NFL GMs would do, I would draft like a tight end here or something like that. Who knows? But looking at the needs that they have, Corey Linsley most likely moving on in free agency. They're going to have a need on the interior of that offensive line. I'm going to give him Creed Humphrey, center, interior offensive lineman out of Oklahoma. Physical presence on the inside, can move, can do everything that they need from the interior, but then also just put up some ridiculous athleticism testing numbers at their pro day for Oklahoma. So I think he works his way into the back end of first round. He fills a huge need here for Green Bay.
All right, the Buffalo Bills were so close to a Super Bowl. Andrew, I put you on the clock for number 30. This is a team that's right there. I think you could even make a case for them to be the favorites to go back there in the AFC if you want to play that game. So who do you need here on this team to get back to that AFC championship game?
Yeah, I'm torn a little bit here because part of me wants to go with the highest player on my board versus, you know, maybe addressing a little bit more of need. But I'm just going to go with a player who might have a bigger impact, you know, initially, and that's Asante Samuel Jr., cornerback from Florida State. I think it makes sense with the Bills. Again, you have someone there to lock it down on the outside, but they're missing other corners. You know, Josh Norman and other guys like that just haven't really been able to deliver, mm-hmm. you know, when the Bills have one side locked down. So I think that adding a playmaker like Asante Samuel Jr., who's versatile enough to play, you know, he can play safety, slot corner. He can also play on the outside. Like, he can move around the formation and make it easier for the Bills to be a better defense and help try to slow down, you know, the Chiefs and other offenses in the AFC.
Now for the Chiefs, obviously the season ended with a bitter pill to swallow, losing to Tom Brady. So tags, you're on the clock here for the Chiefs. The Chiefs have a fantastic football team, but what do you think they're lacking? What would you want to give them?
The offensive tackles.
Well, I don't think you can. I think you used them all already, tags. So you got to find something
else. Didn't. I actually have a tackle that's ranked high in my rankings compared to some of the guys that have gone. I'm actually stoked to get him here. Jalen Mayfield. Mayfield plays with that offensive lineman mentality that I want. Like, I want a mean offensive lineman. I want a guy that's willing to throw you on the ground and get on top of you. He's willing to do that. He's dirty. It's good. This is what you want on an offensive lineman. And the Kansas City Chiefs are fortunate that he's still on the board here because, I mean, when you see a mock draft moving forward, if you don't see the Chiefs taking an offensive tackle here, I don't know what to say about it, because I mean it goes against all logic, because if you watch the Super Bowl, I made a tweet, it was tongue in cheek, but if you watch the Super Bowl and then as a Chiefs fan said, let's do that again, it just doesn't make any sense, you know. But that's basically what they did. They said, let's cut both of our tackles. And I understand the salary cap and all that stuff, but you see these teams manipulating the salary cap in other ways. The ways to win are not letting go of the most important positions on the football field. The positions that protect Patrick Mahomes, your you know, $500 million investment that you made. You know, it's left tackles don't grow on trees. That's basically the lesson to be learned here. So Jalen Mayfield is more of a right tackle, but they just need a strong tackle, and I think he's one of them.
Gates, are you as stoked about Mayfield as our bro Tags is
our
here?
Bro.
So stoked about Mayfield.
He brings some versatility too, which is important because you also have needs on the interior of the offensive line for Kansas City. So he's played right tackle at Michigan, but yet I actually think that he can slide inside and be a really, 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 really good guard. So I think if you try him out at right tackle, if it doesn't work out as well as you hope, then you just kick him inside. And I think he has all pro ability there.
All right, Yates, close things out here with the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's still a hard thing for me to say. I don't know why. So I'm sorry, Bucs fans. It's part of a program I'm in, you know, trying to like a Tom Brady relief program. It's actually 12 steps, ironically, for number 12, trying to get over not having Tom Brady. But dad jokes aside, Yates, let's close things out here strong with pick number 32.
Yeah, we're recording this Monday morning, so by the time that you listen to this, Shaq Barrett might be back in town. If he isn't, then I think you could definitely go with an edge presence here like Azeez Ojulari out of Georgia. I think that would fit right into that Shaq Barrett role. But yeah, I'm going to go with a player here who has fallen considerably compared to where, you know, he's typically gone in drafts, and that's Najee Harris. You look at the running back position for Tampa Bay, they don't have anyone who can catch the ball, who can be that reliable presence for Tom Brady. As Tom Brady progresses through his career now he's planning on playing till he's 45, 46 years old. He can't be throwing the ball a ton. So you need that reliability at the running back position. Najee Harris presents that. You can give him 20 carries a game, 6+ receptions. I mean, he's just a workhorse. So give him that, give him that role in this Tampa Bay offense. And I think he thrives. So Najee Harris here at number 32 overall.
Yeah, and that was the last piece of news probably that we really didn't discuss was the Tom Brady extension, as it were. He's going to play until the year 2050. It's going to be spectacular. Look, now you're giving him Najee Harris, who's my favorite running back on the board. Andrew, I was actually surprised with the Bills you didn't take a shot on Harris or Etienne. So tell me, was that even a thought for you there? Because, you know, I look at that run game for Buffalo and, you know, they have the defense, they have the quarterback, but their inability to run the football, I always think that hurts teams when they get into playoffs. I know everyone says, well, it's a different league and all that stuff. Yeah, it's a different league until you get to January. And then you know what it is? It's football. And if you can run the ball and play defense, and guess who did? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And guess who's got a ring? They do. So was there any thought process there for you with one of those two running backs?
No. I'm not going to probably take a running back in the first round. Again, I think it's more of a luxury pick. Again, we saw with the Chiefs last year, they took Edwards-Helaire when they probably should have taken like a tackle, which would have helped them much more in the Super Bowl than, you know, having Edwards-Helaire back. And again, kind of seeing the same thing here with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Again, they have the luxury because they are stacked basically across the board. So they can take a guy like Najee Harris who gives them an immediate upgrade at the running back position. So I totally get that. But for me, I think the Bills have problems on defense. And I don't think, I mean, look, your running back is Josh Allen. Like, why do we need another running back? We got Josh Allen, you know, rushing for 600
yards. Because if he gets hurt,
then
you lose your running back and your quarterback. And then that's no bueno. That's no bueno in the league. That's not going to cut it. Who is the best player, Andrew, in your opinion, not taken in this first round that you think you're a big fan of personally?
So somebody that I noticed that didn't get taken was the defensive tackle from Alabama.
Christian Barmore.
He didn't get taken. And I was surprised that, you know, a couple teams, that especially like Green Bay, for example, I know like is basically known for just having a terrible run defense. Again, they've had like their spurts. So I guess I was kind of surprised maybe that Kyle didn't go with that particular player, but obviously addressing the interior offensive line makes sense because they were going to potentially lose their center. So, but yeah, Barrymore was the guy that I think kind of stood out to me as the one player that didn't go in the first round.
Yates, as I recap here, starting at 21, Andrew took Russo, the edge rusher, then Phillips, the edge rusher, Osai, the edge rusher. Theme here. J.C. Horn, quarterback, went to Pittsburgh. You had Koromoa, the linebacker / safety, to Jacksonville. Then you had the Cleveland Browns taking Collins, the linebacker there. Baltimore going Rondell Moore, the wide receiver. Nixon, where Tags planted his flag, much to the chagrin of everyone else here. New Orleans Saints at 28. At 29, Green Bay taking Humphrey.
the offensive lineman, Buffalo taking Asante Samuel Jr., the cornerback, offensive tackle Jalen Mayfield going to the Kansas City Chiefs, and Tampa finishing things out here with Najee Harris at running back. So who did not go in this first round that surprised you, Yates?
Really looking at the board, there really isn't a player that I'm like, man, I'm shocked that this player. I think Barmore is the right answer there as far as if I had to identify one player, and Green Bay definitely would be a natural fit, but you're looking at the offensive line, and Corey Linsley is going to be a huge hit for them. So I think, I think the depth of the defensive tackle class, I think I can get a solid player on day two rather than investing there at 29 overall. But otherwise, looking at the board, there really isn't a player that I can identify and say, man, I'm shocked that they didn't go in the first round.
How about for you, Tags? Was there somebody that maybe you think is the best talent remaining, in your opinion, that can really help a team, not just maybe this year, but down the road as well?
Yeah, there were three players in my top 25 that didn't go, but I'm with Yates, though, and the fact that I don't think I'm surprised that didn't go. Barmore is one of them. Trayvon Moehrig, safety out of TCU. I like him a lot, but safety is devalued, and you might not even see a safety go in the first round, so I'm not shocked, but I do think Moehrig definitely belongs in the conversation. And then Jason I don't know how to pronounce his last name, out of Penn State. He's someone that actually flashed. He's a high upside prospect on the edge. I wouldn't be shocked to see a team take him in the first round.
Andrew Erickson, I want to thank you so much for spending some quality time with us today and taking a break from all your busy work at Pro Football Focus. Tell us what you got going on right now this off season, if there is such a thing.
Yeah, I'm just basically trying to cover everything. It's me and Ian working over there full time and just trying to cover all of our bases, hit on all the breaking news from all the free agency stuff. So I'm going to be doing a ton of live streams this week on Instagram, on StreamYard, Periscope, Twitter. I'll be all over the place. So give me a follow at @AndrewErickson_.
Do it. I'm telling you, he's a great follow on Twitter. I follow him and I steal all kinds of stuff from him. And I sound really smart here on the show all the time. So please go follow him. And while you're at it, make sure you also subscribe to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast with Kyle Yates and Ray Garvin. They're doing great work there. So if you want to dig into these guys even more, that's the show for you to do that and get ready for all of your rookie drafts and your dynasty drafts that are coming up there. Kyle, what do you have going on this week on the show?
Like I mentioned earlier, you know, we're talking a ton of the free agency fallout. We're looking at what that all means from a dynasty impact. So looking at these guys, the landing spots, and we're going to provide you with some immediate reaction there with from a dynasty perspective.
And reminding you all to get in on that Lamar Jackson autographed jersey. Go to fantasypros.com/contest. Again, all you got to do, upload that review that you took over at took a screenshot of over at CastBox or Apple Podcasts, and then you go, you fill out that form at fantasypros.com/contest, and you will be automatically entered to win Lamar Jackson autographed jersey courtesy of our friends at pristineauction.com. And I want to thank our sponsor, most importantly, Blue Chew. Try Blue Chew free when you use the promo code FantasyPros at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's bluechew.com. And that's the promo code FantasyPros, one word, to receive your first month free. And we want to thank Blue Chew once again for sponsoring the podcast. So that'll do it for us today. We hope you enjoyed all of the draft talk. We've got a great stream coming up on Wednesday night. We're going to talk about the free agent fallout in the NFL. So check that out starting, I believe, 7 p.m. Eastern. Of course, you can follow us on all of our social media channels at Fantasy Pros in order to get all the information on that. But until then, it's back to the salt mines for all of us. So that'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For Tags and Yates and Andrew Erickson, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros. And subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.